Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenech.
Let's jump straight in.
Tech Guide.
This was a real effort to push into that growing consumer space, very competitive space in Australia.
Tech Guide.
It does give the user plenty of options, whether you're working or viewing content on the device.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
Knowing Apple, you just don't know what to expect.
Tech Guide.
They've gone from taking an excellent device and they've made it even better. It's had a redesign inside and out.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenech.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Tech Guide Podcast. This is a wash-up of the Consumer Electronics Show. I'm actually still in the US following the trade show in Las Vegas, the world's biggest trade show. I call it the Super Bowl of trade shows. It's massive. This is Tech Guide episode 130. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. It's great to have your company once again. We're going to take you through the main announcements, all the big news that came out of the Consumer Electronics Show. All the major companies were on hand to announce their products and new devices that we found in the halls as well. Plenty of those to talk about too. It's all brought to you too, thanks to the good people at Netgear. Plenty to get through, so let's jump straight in. Well, the CES show, it's an annual event. It's held every January, and this is actually 10 years since my first CES, and I have seen plenty of changes over the years. Just to give you an idea of the scope of this show, all the major companies, a lot of media, there's more than 170,000 attendees at this show. It's not just about those showing media new devices. This is where a lot of deals are done too. So it's easy to understand why there's a lot of retailers, obviously all the manufacturers, all their salespeople, there's a lot of buyers for all the different companies. So basically, this is where all of the decisions are made for the products that you're going to see in all those various stores in the coming 12 months and beyond. All the new products, of course, are showcased on the eve of the show. That each company has on what we call press day. They have a press conference on the hour, traditionally kicked off by LG at 8 a.m. And then followed by all the other companies throughout the day. That's the prelim to the show proper. Once the show kicks off, it's held at the Las Vegas Convention Center. Now, the amount of space dedicated to each of the floors, there's the central hall where your main players are, like your Samsungs and LGs, Sony, Panasonic. All the major companies are in the central hall. The south hall, there's two levels to the south hall. That is where some of your smaller companies can be found, like your Sennheisers, Belkin, even a lot of drone manufacturers this year. We'll talk about that a little bit later. A lot of the smaller startups, new technologies found in the south hall as well. There's some of the best products and quirkiest products that I've written about on Tech Guide in the past couple of weeks have come from the south hall. Now, over at the north hall, though, there are a lot of car companies. You'd be forgiven for thinking that you've actually walked into a motor show rather than it being a tech show. But look, there were all the big companies there on the car manufacturing side. We're talking Mercedes-Benz, Audi, BMW, Volkswagen, Ford, Toyota. All of the main manufacturers there, all showcasing the latest technology for the in-car experience, which was basically a lot of self-driving cars, a lot of ways for apps to be used even easier within the car. So they were there wanting to stay on the cusp of technology, showing this to the tech community gathered there that cars have a large part to play in that story. There was also a lot of prototypes. Mercedes-Benz had a prototype there that looked like it was straight out of the future. It was incredible. The other stands like Audi had the self-driving technology that I mentioned before. Ford had the updated version of Sync, which is the new in-car system that allows for apps to be optimized for the in-car experience. So that's just a general overview of CES. This show has been going for years. It's the show where a lot of household technology made its first appearance. And I'm talking about products like the VCR, the compact disc player, the plasma television, Blu-ray disc player, 3D TV. All these things made their very first appearance on the floors of the Consumer Electronics Show. This year, was it any different? Well, we did see a lot of new products, a lot of new announcements, and we're going to jump straight in now and start with the TV. TVs were a big part of CES this year and have been in years gone by. And what we found that all the major companies had plenty of announcements to make. The main battle were among the major players like your LGs and Samsungs and Sony. They were the big three, in my opinion, during the show. But LG in particular, and full disclosure to all my listeners, LG did actually, I was a guest of LG. I traveled to Las Vegas as a guest of LG. So just so that you know that up front, just want to be transparent. I've said it on the bottom of every one of my stories from CES. LG really put the front foot forward with OLED. Now, OLED stands for Organic Light Emitting Diode. What's so special about OLED? I hear some of you asking. I have spoken about it in the past. OLED is a self-lighting material. In other words, when you pass a charge through it, it produces its own light. So what that allows the TV manufacturers to do is to create thinner panels because you don't need an artificial backlight. So the design options are really open up because you're not encumbered by that backlight. The other result is that you get excellent black levels. Black, it's the blackest black you'll see on a TV screen when you're looking at OLED. Same deal for colors, incredible color reproduction. So when you look at OLED, you're looking at arguably the best picture you can get on a TV. Now, LG were very heavily leaning towards OLED. It seems that OLED, it's quite a difficult product to manufacture. And LG seemed to have they've found the key to manufacturing OLED successfully. Now, there's a thing that they have called a yield rate. And what that refers to is the percentage of panels that come off the production line that actually work. So if you're making 100 panels and only 10 of them are working at the end of the production cycle, your yield rate is 10%. Now, a couple of years ago, that was the case across the board. That's why in 2013, when LG and Samsung both announced on day one of that show that year, a curved 55-inch OLED, that's why both of those devices, those products, were priced at well over $10,000. Now, LG seems to have stuck to their guns with OLED. Samsung have kind of dropped off it. Sony, the same story. Panasonic had a prototype 4K, prototype OLED TV on the stand. LG, on the other hand, have gone forward and created not only OLED, but also 4K Ultra HD OLED. So you're getting the best of OLED, what it brings in the black levels and the color, and then you're also topping that off with four times the resolution of full HD, which is 4K ultra high definition. So those two combinations together, LG are betting the house that is going to be the future of television. OLED was everywhere on their stand. There were many curved TVs offer that more immersive experience. Over at Samsung, they had another technology called SUHD. Now, the S doesn't stand for anything in particular. The S is the same S that's on the Galaxy Tab S, the Galaxy S5. It stands for excellence in Samsung's world. Now, SUHD is an improvement on the current LED technology. And what it basically does is that the pixels react a little bit differently. The pixels allow for greater brightness, and also less, so that there's less light leakage, so that there's a better black level, greater brightness, but also even better color reproduction. That was this technology, even though Samsung are referring it to as SUHD, it's also commonly known in the industry as quantum dot technology, which other companies have kind of rearranged their LED technology. I think other companies were calling it ULED, various other names they were giving it. But basically, they were all talking about the same thing, and that's an enhanced version of LED. Now, LED is something that Samsung manufactures quite effectively, very efficiently, and their decision to stick with SUHD rather than concentrating and focusing on OLED like LG has done is their way of saying, well, this and the picture quality is excellent, by the way, on SUHD, comparable to OLED. That's really something for the customer to decide, a very subjective thing, choosing a picture quality quality, a picture that you like better. But do yourself a favor. If you are in the market for a new TV, do check out OLED and also check out SUHD, and you make up your own minds. I think that it's going to be an exciting choices for customers down the track. But Samsung's decision to stick with SUHD, well, they decided that that was the most efficient and easiest way to produce these high-quality TVs, which Samsung admits aren't going to be sold at a premium. They're going to basically just replace the top-of-the-line models that exist today. So don't think there's going to be the top TVs are going to suddenly be thousands of dollars more expensive. That's not the case. LG with OLED, they have their yield rate has really improved over the years. That's why they've decided to go ahead, to go hard with OLED, and so expect to see plenty of them on the showroom floors. The LG going to offer both curved and flat TVs. And for those who can't make up their minds, they're also going to offer a flexible TV, which I think is really interesting. Over at Sony, Sony revealed its thinnest ever Bravia LCD TV. Now, a moment ago, I was telling you about OLED and how you don't need a backlight. So it gives you the option of creating a very, very thin screen. Well, over at Sony, they've actually unveiled their new Bravia, which is an LCD, but it's also the thinnest Bravia they've ever produced. It's about 5 millimeters thick, which is thinner than the Sony Xperia Z3 smartphone. Now, that is very impressive. So, look, as I said, TVs were a massive part of CES this year. 2015 we're in now, certainly is going to be the year of these ultra-high-definition 4K TVs. I think you're going to see 60% of the market is now going to be 4K OLED TVs. So, really, you should be seeing those coming in stores in the next couple of months. If you want to read more about all of those reports that I spoke about, you can go to techguide.com.au. Okay, up next we're going to talk about a term that was used a fair bit at CES, and it's something you're going to be hearing a lot of in the coming months and years, for that matter, the Internet of Things. That's a way to describe all the devices not only connecting to the internet but also connecting to each other. This is the way that the common term now given to these products that can connect and talk to each other and do things, react to things, help make your life a little bit easier. Now, Belkin kicked things off with Wemo 3 years ago. As a matter of fact, we saw the first Wemo products unveiled at CES. Well, Belkin have once again updated their Wemo range to allow users to enhance that experience. So what they've unveiled are these new sensors. Now, Belkin's Wemo line so far included a light switch, a switch you plug in the wall to then connect an appliance, whether it's a light or a television or another product. Well, now their new range includes a range of sensors. So Wemo have unveiled a window or door sensor. They've also revealed a key ring sensor, as well as a room sensor and an alarm sensor. Now let's take you through them one by one. The door and window sensor, they're magnetic sensors that can detect when a door has been opened or closed, a window's been opened or closed, or a drawer, or a fridge, anything that can be open or closed, the new Wemo sensors can detect. So what that allows you to do is through the Wemo app, it allows you to set what they call rules. So you could tell your Wemo application, if you detect a door being opened or closed, turn on a light or send me a text message or turn on the TV. It allows you to program your Wemo app with these new rules. So Belkin because they started all this off with their original Wemo products, the beauty of these new devices is that you can actually add on to them. So nothing becomes out of date. Everything just becomes something you can add to it. Think of them like Lego blocks where you can build one on top of the other and eventually you've got a pretty big object that you've put together. That's what you can achieve with these new sensors. Moving along to the room motion sensor. Now, this is an infrared sensor that can pick up movement by heat detection. So it's a bit larger than the original sensor that was released. The original sensor was quite small. This is much larger and is much more efficient at picking up human movement. So it does can detect heat detection, so human-shaped heat detections. So don't think that your dog or cat or whatever other pet you have in your home is going to set this off. So don't be afraid that you're going to get all these false notifications or all these false rules being acted upon. You're not going to get that with the new Wemo Room sensor. So, for example, you can set up the Wemo Room motion sensor to detect someone. When someone walks past it, it turns on a radio. So it reacts to that movement, not a radio. It turns on a light. Or you can actually program it to turn on a radio, turn on a TV, whatever you want to do. But the good news is that you can't, your cat or dog won't set it off. It won't trigger all these other devices. But the sensor can be used as a security device or just a convenience device. So if you detect someone moving in a room that you know should be secure, no one should be in there, then you can get a text message or set off an alarm, turn on the lights, however you want it to react. Now, the keychain sensor. This is an interesting one because it's something, as its name suggests, is something, it's a small fob you wear on your key ring. Now, you can put on your key ring, you put on a dog collar or a bag, and it can be used to keep track of things, whether it's a family member or even a pet. So, if, for example, you might be a working parent, you may give your child one of the keychain sensors, and when the child comes home, you may get sent an alert. Or if you might have it on your cat or dog's collar, and when they wander off the property, you may also get a notification as well. So you want to know whether they are, where they are. If you want to make sure that people and your pets or whatever are where they want to, where you want them to be. So the keychain sensor really comes in handy right there. Now the alarm sensor. Now basically this is an alarm for an alarm. Now, it might sound a little bit funny, but the Wemo alarm sensor would sit next to your existing alarm, like your smoke detector or your security alarm, and can notify you when they go off. So the Wemo alarm sensor could be, say, next to your smoke detector, and you could be out. You could be anywhere. Your smoke detector goes off, it'll send you a notification. Your security alarm goes off. You might be on holidays or at work or whatever, and your security alarm goes off. Rather than your neighbors calling you to say, hey, listen, Steve, your alarm's going off. What are you going to do about it? The Wemo app will send you that notification through that alarm sensor. It'll pick that up and notify you. And it's been set up with a special algorithm so it can distinguish between the alarm and other outside noises, so you're not going to get all these false alarms all the time. So that's the Belkin, the Wemo range of devices. Another product that can fall into this Internet of Things security and convenience section is from our sponsors, Netgear. Netgear have a new product called Arlo. Now, Arlo is a wire-free smart home security system. Now, they did have a similar product a couple of years ago called ViewZone. Now, ViewZone was a camera that you could attach wirelessly to your network. It wasn't weatherproof, so it needed a case around it, or it didn't have night vision. Well, Arlo is the new and improved and best yet version of those cameras because it is wire-free. And I call it wire-free, not wireless, because it is truly wire-free. It connects wirelessly to your router. Is wire-free because it doesn't need power. It just has a battery on board, which that battery can actually last up to 6 months. It's also got night vision on board, and it's also weatherproof. So you can put these anywhere. And because they're connected, you can log into them from inside and outside of your network. They can be programmed to send you a notification when it detects movement. You can also log in and see the live feed from these as well. The even better part is that they have magnetic mounts. So you could position the mount right up in the corner of the ceiling and then simply attach the Arlo to that magnetic mount. And there's no need to worry about there being a power point or running a cable to connect it. That's been the pain point in the past for these IP security solutions because you needed power to the camera, you needed to either connect them physically, they were pretty hard to connect to the wireless system. With Arlo, you could actually set up the Arlo system using your smartphone app in minutes. Now, it's going to be available in March. It shoots 720p high-definition video, has night vision, as I mentioned, but it is going to be available in March. You can set up to 15 cameras to the base station. The base station connects to your Wi-Fi router, and you can connect up to 15 Arlo cameras to a single base station. Going to be available in a 2-pack with the base station, a 4-pack with the base station as well. Pricing's not yet released. March launch date. I'll have a full review in Tech Guide when they are out, but you can then also buy individual cameras if you want to build up your system. But a really easy way to set up an IP camera, it's a really easy and trouble-free way of setting them up and also monitoring them. So you can monitor them through the app, whether you're at home or overseas, from anywhere you can see what's going on. Netgear actually gave me an example of the Arlo. They actually have Arlo cameras that were set up in their San Jose office, and we were looked in on those cameras all the way from Las Vegas to get a live view. So that's the shape of the Internet of Things at CES. If you want to read more about those stories, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
Well, the Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Well, you've got to ask yourself, how many Wi-Fi devices do you have at home? Now, we've got laptops, we have tablets, smartphones, game consoles, smart TVs, music streaming. The list goes on and on. And if you are like the average Aussie home, you're probably going to have 10 or more devices all connected to your Wi-Fi network. Now is the time to upgrade your home network to next generation 802.11 AC Wi-Fi from Netgear and get the best experience from all your gadgets and devices. When you upgrade to Netgear's AC Wi-Fi, you'll enjoy video and music streaming with no buffering, more reliable Wi-Fi connectivity and coverage, faster loading of websites and videos and email attachments, and much, much more. So check out Netgear's range of next generation AC Wi-Fi products like modems and routers and range extenders at netgear.com.au, and do more with your devices this summer. All right, well, CES was plentiful in the smart devices department. There were lots of little gadgets that we found at the show that were quite fascinating. Now, the smart we've already used for things like phones and TVs, watches, but there were a few new smart devices at the show this year that really captured our attention. Let's start off with the smart ring. Now, this ring looks like an oversized jewelry ring. It's massive. It sits on your finger, connects to a hub in your home, which then connects wirelessly to your network. Now, the ring connection between the ring and the hub is with Bluetooth. Now, what the ring allows you to do is to control your home and other devices using gestures. So you can make gesture control of your home using this ring. And it's simply called Ring, not iRing, anything like that. It's called Ring. I've put a picture up of it up on Tech Guide. It allows you to set gestures. Like, for example, if you want to increase the volume of your TV, there's a tiny button on the side, so that makes it active. And then you simply twirl your finger in a winding fashion. That could be the command you set for your TV. You want to turn on the TV? I think you can do something like write the letters TV in midair. So all these gestures, up to you how you can set them up, but you can actually have control of your home using a ring. Now, moving on, there's also a smart belt. Now, this product was called Belty, and it allowed you to not only wear it around your waist like a normal belt, but what it does, it actually can adjust to your waistline. So when you sit up, when you stand up, it actually adjusts to fit, to suit you. So, you know how if you need to loosen a little bit sometimes when you sit down, and when you stand up, it tightens again. But what it could also do, this is my favorite part, it could also give you a little warning telling you how much your waistline has expanded. So if you let yourself go a little bit, Belty will give you a little tap on the shoulder and say, Steve, it's time to lay off the donuts and get back to the gym. A great way to be reminded. If we get a little bit off track, then we can easily get back on track thanks to a little notification from Belty. Moving on with other smart devices, we have smart kettles. Would you believe that? Smart kettles and smart coffee makers. Well, it doesn't sound as funny as you think. Now, imagine waking up, and this kind of falls in the Internet of Things as well. When you wake up, you can set once your alarm goes off, or you can send a notification down to the kettle to boil or to make a coffee, to have a coffee ready to go when you are. Now, the smart technology we've seen in plenty of parts of the home, but now it's in the kitchen as well with this smart kettle and smart coffee maker. They connect to a smartphone app, so you can set up your favorite brews. You can even have, you can count the number of cups you have. You can set the strength of your coffee. You'll also get a warning when you need to refill the water or refill the coffee. So wake up mode is what I just spoke about, where you can have a coffee waiting for you when you wake up. As soon as you wake up, coffee's going to be waiting down in the kitchen. And also home mode, so it can you can set a notification that when you come home, it'll have the kettle boiled and your cuppa ready to go. That's the smart kettle. Now, there's also a smart pot. Now, a pot, by a pot, I'm not talking about the pot in the kitchen. I'm talking about the pot in the garden. Now, Parrot, who have made a similar product that can tell you when your plants need watering, have come up with the Parrot Pot. Now, what this is a pot that's got about a 2.2-litre reservoir of water. You can then tell the pot what plant is sitting inside it, and it can then ration the watering. So it does automated irrigation. So rather than you forgetting and the plant dying, all you need to do is remember to fill up the reservoir, and the pot plant does the rest. They've also got another product called the H2O. Parrot H2O, which takes an existing pot, so your old pots that are in the garden are inside, you stick this into the soil and turn a water bottle upside down onto the H2O, and it will know when it needs to be watered. So it will spray from the water that's turned upside down. It gives it a reservoir of water to spray automatically into the soil so that your plants don't die. Now, there was a smartphone that we looked at. LG released a new curved smartphone. Last year was their first attempt at that product, the LG G Flex. Well, this year they had the G Flex 2, which was unveiled on day one of CES. Actually, the previous day, on press day, we saw the G Flex 2 for the first time. Now, the G Flex 2 has had plenty of improvements, including it being a lot thinner, a little bit lighter, slightly smaller screen. It's got a 5.5-inch screen instead of last year's 6-inch screen. It's got a higher resolution screen this time out, too. It's got an OLED screen that's full high definition. It's got a camera that inherits some of the features of the G3. So it's got the laser autofocus and the optical image stabilization. Also has that cool feature that when you're taking a selfie, you simply hold your open hand up, the camera will recognize you. Once you make a fist, it then enters the countdown mode and takes your selfie for you. Plenty of smart devices at CES this year, and I've individually written about all of those products that I've spoken about, and you know where you can find them, at techguide.com.au. Moving right along to the next part, this is another major category at CES, and that's wearable devices. There were plenty of wearables here, and I'm going to go through them right now. The first one that caught our eye was a product called Alert Band. Now, this is a wearable with a difference. This is a wearable that has the potential to save your life. The Alert Band is actually a driver fatigue sensor. So you wear a forehead sensor, and this can detect up to 5 minutes ahead of time if the driver is going to fall asleep. So it then feeds into a device that is connected by Bluetooth to your smartphone and can do one of two things. Can set off an alarm to wake you up and make you more alert, or can send off a message to your family or friends. Whenever dangerous levels of fatigue are detected, that's when it swings into action, and your fatigue level is measured as a number between 0 and 100. Obviously, when it gets too high, the notification will then come to your smartphone and really set off an alarm to wake you up. You know, this sort of product's ideal for anyone who spends a lot of time on the road, whether you're a truckie, a cab driver, police, they drive around a lot as well. So this is the sort of product that can really make a difference. So to really keep people awake, there's been ads made about this. For people who drive tired, it's as bad as driving drunk or on drugs. If you're tired, you really, as the saying on the TV station, on the TV ads say, you really don't know your tired self. It could potentially cause a crash. It can end up killing yourself if you're driving around fatigued. Well, with the Alert Band, that's not going to happen. Moving on, there was a wearable device. There was plenty of activity trackers at the show. But one that caught our eye was called Gobi. Now, this was a wearable, like a wristband. So it takes your all your normal, all the things you'd expect for it to collect, like your activity, sleep quality. But it also measures the amount of calories that you intake. Now, a lot of other devices do that already, but it's because you have to manually add these to the app. So if you have a bagel in the morning, you got to type in bagel. It works out the calories. If you eat a chocolate bar, you scan the barcode or enter the number of calories. It's all done manually. Well, what the Gobi can do is actually detect through your skin using special impedance sensors the amount of calories that you have actually ingested. So no cheating on this one. Every calorie is going to be counted. The sensor sends these low-frequency signals through your tissues and measures the fluid moving around your cells. And that combined with this advanced algorithm can actually work out the calories that you've taken in. That combined with the calories you expend with your exercise, and this is a true way to measure exactly what you're doing with your calories. So no cheating on this one. You can have the honest truth with your calories. Now, moving on, another product that caught our eye was a thing called the Gym Watch. Now, I've heard of plenty of watches, smart watches, activity that can track your activities, but we haven't seen a watch like this. As its name suggests, this is a watch designed for the gym. So you wear it on your arm, you wear it on your leg, and when you're doing your exercise in the gym, it measures precisely the range, full range of movement and the strength you use every time you do a repetition. So what this allows you to do is receive real-time feedback so that you're being told whether your form is right, whether you're getting the most out of your exercise, so that every exercise you do, every repetition you do counts. This keeps you in the zone to make sure you're performing it correctly, you're not going to hurt yourself, you're getting the most out of your exercise. We've never seen anything like this before, so if you want to see maximum results, it also obviously can link up with a smartphone app as well, so you get real-time information of how effectively you're training, whether you need to add more weight, whether what you're lifting is too heavy. This is a way for you to keep track of all of that. Another wearable we saw, this was something you could wear to bed. This was called the sleep phones. Now, what this is, I think a lot of people love to go to bed. They love to listen to music. Or some people may have a spouse that snores. They don't want to hear them. Well, what sleep phone does, there are a pair of headphones that you can wear in bed like a headband. So you slip them over your head and the speakers over each ear are flat. So rather than you having to wear bulky headphones or earphones, they slit so they can sit quite comfortably. So even if you're rolling over in bed, you're not going to get caught up because they're wireless as well. They connect to Bluetooth, so your phone is by the bedstand, so you can connect wirelessly to those as well. So they may look like headphones, but they're actually sleep phones. You can wear them in bed to reduce the ambient noise, so you might want to fall asleep to music or the sound of waterfalls, whatever you want to do. You might want to drown out your husband or wife who's snoring. So the sleep phones are handy for that. Last up in the wearables area is something for you cyclists out there. It's called the VisiJax. Now, this is a wearable jacket, high visibility jacket, that's got 23 different LED lights all around the jacket. So it's on your arms, it's on your back, it's on your front, it's on your sides. And the beauty of it is too, is that when you indicate, the traditional way on a bike to indicate your direction is to raise your arm, whether if you're making a right turn, raise your right arm. And what the VisiJax does is that motion activates the LED light on your arm. So it's like having a blinker. It's like you're in a car. It's like you when you raise your right arm, the blinker comes on. So you can indicate to the traffic around you whether you're making a right turn, whether you're making a left turn. And then by the time you've lowered your hand again, it's like the blinker resets itself. It turns off automatically. So there's no such thing as being too safe on a bike. A great product, the VisiJax. If you're a cyclist out there, it's going to be available in red, in green, so really highly visible colors. And with these LED lights, no one is going to miss you on the road ever again. You want to read more about every one of those stories that I spoke to, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Well, onto some news now, and we had a briefing with Netflix at CES. This was organised before we arrived in Las Vegas. And with the Australian service coming up, I thought it was interesting to hear some information about the service, what we may expect, and the content. Maybe I was hoping to find out the pricing and the release date. Well, I went along to the briefing, and they gave us some information about the new interface. They were talking about the new Netflix Recommends TV icon, which means that you can recognize TVs that will work well with Netflix. But there was very little information about actually our Australian service, our content, the release date. None of that information was given to us. And at the end of the day, I'll be frank, it was a bit of a waste of time. I think we could have found out all that information through a press release. They weren't really telling us much. In fact, before we walked into the room, there was a story floating about that Netflix were kicking Australian users off the service. Now, Australians have there's a method to connect to Netflix because it isn't in Australia. You can connect to the US Netflix using what they call a VPN, Virtual Private Network. What this does, it fools the Netflix servers to think that you are in the US, so it doesn't geo-block you. Now, there was a story floating around that Netflix was actually kicking off users who were using a VPN. That was not true. Netflix weren't kicking them off. There was something happening through Google, and the VPN was being cancelled out. So they were the scene to be the geo barrier was then preventing these people who'd gone to the trouble of setting up a VPN, they were being kicked off the service. Netflix came out and said they wasn't something they were doing. They gave us all a press release on the doorstep of the suite at the Wynn where they had their exhibition there. Their little talks were set up. And they said, look, here is what's happening. We're not kicking people off VPNs. That is just a circumstance that is not beyond our control. We like people to follow the rules. They shouldn't be using a VPN. But the people that were losing the service with the VPN, it wasn't Netflix's fault. Right. We did establish that, but we still didn't get information about the release date or the pricing. Well, I've had a lot of contacts at CES, and I'm very proud to say that Tech Guide actually broke the story of Netflix's release date and also the pricing structure. We've got a lot of contacts of ours at CES, and while I'm not going to name them, I'll never ever name them, you just have to remember that Netflix appearing in Australia doesn't just happen by magic. There has to be an app on smartphones and tablets and other devices and smart TVs. So there's a lot of people talking about Netflix in the industry. And luckily, I have a couple of contacts in the industry, not from Netflix, from outside of Netflix, that confirmed to Tech Guide that March 31 will be the launch date for Netflix. And it will start at $9.99. There will be a three-tier pricing structure. I think it's going to be $11.99 and $40.99, the other two top services as well. There's going to be a talk of 4K streaming on the $14.99 service. $9.99 gives you only one account. I think the $11.99 gives you two simultaneous streams. $14 gives you four plus 4K. We're going to find out all about the official pricing structure, which you can take to the bank. It's going to be what I've just said, March 31. There's also no real announcement on content. They did send out a release about some upcoming shows. They've renewed Marco Polo, their Netflix original show, again for next year, for another season. But apart from that, the information they gave us in the briefing was the right word, because it was very brief, the information, and not very useful, if I'm to be entirely honest. Netflix, March 31. You can read Tech Guide's exclusive story that was then followed by many other tech sites at techguide.com.au. All right, and that is the end of another show, a special edition of our CES wrap-up. We're going to head back to Australia. We'll be back midweek and we'll bring you next week's episode from the Tech Guide Studios. But everything that we've spoken about on the Tech Guide show today is available to read at techguide.com.au. If you want to get in touch with us, feel free. info@techguide.com.au. We'll bring the Tech Guide Help Desk back next week. So if you have any questions, send us an email. Just want to also thank Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. If you need to be connected, the answer is Netgear. Well, it's been great having your company. We look forward to you joining us again next week. But until then, as we always say, stay safe and stay connected.